All right, welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on Kent Business Radio, on Channel Radio and bizradio.co.uk on this Tuesday the 19th of September. We've been Paul Andrews and Marvellous Martin White. What are you laughing at?
Out of breath.
I know, I just ran down to the loo, didn't I? I made it back with seconds to spare. Yeah.
You did tell us it was tight.
Absolutely, yeah, but I was delayed getting off, listening to the...
Getting off the loo, you mean?
No, delayed setting off to get downstairs because I was listening to the interesting conversation we had in the studio.
Okay.
While the news was on. Good. So,
right.
I'll tell you what, Martin, mm-hmm. why don't you go with an email or a tweet while I get my breath back?
Okay. So, does anybody out there need a new van?
Van?
A van.
Van.
Are you looking for a van? Do you have a business that needs a van? So another one of our previous guests, Paul Rainbow, Troman Finance, has got a fantastic limited Peugeot van deal. So he can do it for 10, 15, 20,000 miles. It's a Peugeot Partner 100 Blue HDI L1 850 van. I'm sure that will mean a lot
to the
van community out there.
Yeah. What colour is it?
I've got to say, one went past me on the M20 today doing about 95, so then I've...
Hey, listen, Martin, and your old banger, anything could go past you. Yeah.
And it's...
An old lady on a bike with one wheel could go past you and your old banger.
I'm actually going to buy a 2CV, I've decided.
Are
that's
you?
That's definitely my future car.
Yeah.
And...
Which they stopped making in 1976, I have to tell you.
You wouldn't believe this, but he can do monthly payments on that from £130 plus VAT. So if you are looking for a new van, Paul Rainbow at Troman Finance is your man. Limited edition or limited number of these Peugeot vans available. Take a look on the community section of the Supply My Business website. You'll find out all the information on that.
Fantastic. Thank you. I've got a tweet here from Man in a Sumo Suit.
He's brilliant, isn't he?
He is, Johnny. Yeah, he's really good.
Did he come up with that concept for... You know, the name and the whole kind of...
Yep.
Yeah, I think it's brilliant because I guess, you know, when you are that big and he's lost 8 stone, so he must have been fairly large.
Yeah.
That's how he saw himself.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think what he's done is absolutely incredible.
Oh, it's massively inspiring. It's been really hard work for him, but he's really getting there. And all power to you, Johnny, and keep going, mate. But he's asked for a Business Bunker shout-out for somebody else, actually, which just shows you the type of bloke that he is. He said, Business Bunker, could you give a shout-out to Sign Graphics of Folkestone, who have helped me with the picture of the gorillas for the Gorillas and Gals charity auction? Now, Johnny has produced... Johnny's an artist, and he produces pop art. And he's produced a gorilla pop art piece, which he's kindly donated to the Gorillas and Gowns fashion show. And he's just asked me to thank Sign Graphics of Folkestone. So I'm happy to thank both of them for their kind work and support with the Gorillas and Gowns show. And while we're talking about that, I might as well give it a mention as well. The Gorillas and Gowns is a fashion show, charity fashion show, taking place on Friday the 29th of September. At Aspinall's at the Port Lim Hotel. It's been on behalf of the Aspinall Trust and their work with conservation with gorillas and returning gorillas to the Congo. It starts at 6:30. There's a fashion show. There's an auction of some incredible stuff. There's some absolutely incredible pieces in the auction. If you can't get to the event, you can see the auction pieces online and you can put in an email bid for them. There are works of art. There are trips, there are stays away, there are the ability to adopt an animal, there's the chance to go and feed giraffes and rhinos and all kinds of things. So do check it all out. You can find out all about it. Let me find the website. Hold on a second. Talk amongst yourselves. I want to give you the proper website to do this. It's butterfliesanddreamsevents.co.uk/gorillas-gowns. That's butterfliesanddreamsevents.co.uk/gorillas-gowns. You can book your ticket. You can see the auction prizes. You can bid for an auction prize if you're not going to be able to join us on the night, but it's going to be fantastic. And there are two fashion designers on display on the evening. The lovely Caroline Bruce, who's a well-known fashion designer in Kent, and a young lad called Josh Birchfield Jones, and Josh is 12 years old. and he has designed a capsule collection of business suits and evening wear for women, which is absolutely unbelievable. So Josh Birch Jones and Caroline Bruce are the two designers that are going to be on display that evening.
Are they going to be a bit small?
What?
Designed by a 12-year-old, will they be?
No, I don't think he designed them to fit him, oh, did okay. he? I'll tell you, this isn't messing about. This, yeah. I've seen the clothes. It's a fantastic concept. What he's done is his mum is a businesswoman, and she wears business attire to work, but she quite often gets invited to evening functions. She doesn't want to come all the way home from London, get changed into evening wear, and go back out again. So he's designed evening wear that is business wear that is reversible and can become evening wear. Clever. You've got to see it to believe it. And he's got a capsule wardrobe of different. But do you understand this? What a capsule wardrobe is?
I'm not really a.
No, you know I
a
can
fashion
see.
Person.
No, I can see.
But my wife is, luckily. Yeah. So when we come,
Debs. Well, I'll talk to
on
Debs.
The 29th, you
yeah.
can talk
I'll
to
talk
her.
To Debs. I'm not going to talk to you. So, Debs, if you're listening, what it's about...
I'll talk to the silverback.
Yeah, exactly. What it's about is it's a collection of pieces that can be mixed and matched to wear together. So,
while you've been on, Amanda's actually tweeted.
Has she?
And said, if you buy four, I think she means if you buy four...
Four tickets.
You get two free.
That's right, yeah.
So, brilliant promotion.
Yeah, we had two tickets bought for us by people that couldn't come but still wanted to buy tickets.
Right.
So they donated the two tickets. Ah. So basically, if you get four people together, you can have six people for the price of four.
Right. Yeah. And there's dinner...
No, there's a champagne reception with
canapes
and nibbles and stuff like that. Yeah.
Okay, lovely. Yeah. Good. So I'll bring a pot noodle then, shall I? If I'm not.
No, you won't. The nibbles will sustain even you.
Right.
And if they don't, we can take you down to the gorilla enclosure, and you can have a handful of hay or something.
Or
can't
a banana.
You? Yeah, banana. No, you'd have to fight the gorillas for the bananas. Okay. They like a banana.
All right. Really looking forward to that. I love Port Lyme.
Yeah,
beautiful venue.
Yeah,
the Manor House there is absolutely stunning, so it's going to be a cracking evening.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Joe Allsop has tweeted.
All right.
From the Show Home Network. She says, we'd love a shout-out for our Show Home Network launch on Tuesday, 17th of October. It's only 4 weeks ago. Well done, Joe. I think this is a brilliant initiative. So what Joe is doing is she's getting all sorts of businesses in Kent together that can kind of bounce off each other in the kind of construction space,
interior design
space. Yeah. You know, whether that be, I mean, obviously Joe's company specializes in heating installations and log burners and that kind of thing. But, you know, you could be an architect, you might be a plasterer.
It's all kinds of things. There's chairs.
Kitchen installer,
chairs, kitchens.
Exactly.
No, it's a really clever idea.
So,
it's a really clever idea.
If you're interested in becoming part of that network, do give Joe a tweet at Show Home Network. That's at Show Home Network. And that's launching on the 17th of October. And I think they're actually doing it in their...
it's in their showroom in Rochester.
Their showroom in Rochester is what I was about to say.
Yeah, no, it's in their showroom in Rochester.
Good luck with that, Joe. Brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Cool. They've got a chef as well there, I do believe.
Yes. So, I mean, the brilliant thing about these log burning stoves, obviously, is that they are stoves.
I cooked a meal on one for her.
Yeah. I mean, they're log burners with a kind of a metal plate on the
stove
top,
I
guess,
yeah,
and you can cook on them.
I cooked Asian seared tuna for
them. Yes, we remember that, yeah. And you dropped your seed everywhere, didn't you?
They moaned, because I coated it in sesame seeds, and they moaned that there were sesame seeds everywhere afterwards.
And it was only half cooked, and everybody
no,
got
no,
food
no,
poisoning.
No, it wasn't half cooked. It's sushi, you heathen,
sushi.
You Philistine.
Half-cooked fish.
Okay. It wasn't half-cooked. Lovely. It wasn't even... It was seared.
Sounds
the
like
word
a,
is seared.
Sounds like a recipe for disaster.
It was fantastic. And everybody ate it, and there wasn't any left.
Good. Well, I'm looking forward to you coming round to my house and cooking that on my log burner in my lounge at some point.
Yeah, but I'll make sure you do get food poisoning for that. I've had a tweet from Athelbray, and I say, Vanilla Web Business Bunker, can we have a birthday shout-out, please, for our trainer, Jean? Ject Training, J-E-C-T, J-E-C-T. Training. Oh, I know, Jean. Oh, yeah, okay. Who starts a new decade today? So happy birthday, Jean.
Oh, well done. Congratulations.
Yeah, they don't say which decade.
She's celebrating that one quietly. No
yeah, care. But I know, Jean, so it's probably 30.
You don't go backwards, do you,
Jean? No. That's Jean Crew, yeah?
Yeah. You haven't mentioned Venom Tech yet, have you?
No, I haven't got to it yet. Well, you can mention it if you want.
No, I can't. I can't view it. I can't see it.
You can't find it? Well, I'll do it in a minute. I've got a tweet here from Swan Planet. who say Vanillaware Business Bunker. Hi, Paul. A shout out would be great. Cheers. For West Kent affordable websites. Do you need a website? Design, build and content management of websites in major template builders. Graham@swanplanet.com is his email address, or you can follow him on the Twitter at Swan Planet. So it's Graham Swan, website designer based in South Kent. Justin Dean is on talking about his company and asking for a shout out for Creative Motion, who are the video producers. If you follow my timeline, we've got a few videos created by Justin, so do check them out.
We've also had a tweet from Jackie Offen. Hi, Jackie at JJ Systems. She says, listening, hashtag B Bunker. What she's actually been doing, I think, is catching up on an old show.
Right.
Because she's not able to listen in real time. But talking about a very interesting informed approach to productivity and management in SMEs. So people do listen to the show, even if it's not live.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I was saying to the guys earlier that more people listen on the catch-up, which is true of almost all media these days. So, hold on. So, yeah, so welcome, Jackie, and we look forward to you catching up with this show at some point.
Oh, hang on a minute. We've had another tweet from Amanda about the food.
Yeah, I was just going to read you that.
On the 29th. Don't worry. There is also a deluxe buffet after the fashion show, so no need to bring pit noodle. Pit noodle? Pot noodle.
Pot noodle.
Pot noodle. Got to get that right.
She's got a new phone. That's the problem. She can't use her fingers on it. The Venom Tech have tweeted in, as you said,
right.
And they say, having a great show, Business Bunker, would you like to know the Venom of the Week?
Yes, please.
And the Venom of the Week is Bitis nasicornis. That's the rhinoceros viper, apparently.
Wow.
If you see our website for more details, venomtech.co.uk/available venoms.
My poison last week was after dinner brandy.
Really?
With my coffee.
What's that come from?
Yeah. Well, it was French.
Ah. Armagnac.
Yeah.
And did you get a bit squiffy with that?
No, not at all. It's just a nice civilised thing to do, isn't it? Mm.
Absolutely. So you've been saved. So Amanda's told you that she's going to do food for
Thanks,
you as
Amanda.
Well.
Thanks, Amanda. I was worrying if I needed some cheese on toast before I rocked up at that one, but I'll be okay. Thanks.
Cool. Coming up on the 5th of October... at the Kent Event Centre, that's at the County Showground on Detlin Hill there, from 8:30 a.m. until 4:30 p.m. is the South East Construction Show.
Mm.
There will be over 3,000 visitors and 200 exhibitors. If you book now, we have over 600 free Meet the Buyer appointments available. Mm-hmm. But be quick, as appointments are allocated in order of your booking. It's free to attend the conference. As I say, it's on the 5th of October. It's the biggest construction conference in the southeast of England. It's an annual event.
Mm.
Last year was absolutely fabulous. Mm. The Business Bunker will be there with a pop-up radio station.
Right.
So if you are at the conference, do come along and see us on stand 231, I think we're on.
Mm-hmm.
Do come along and say hello. You might even get an interview.
It's staggering the scale of that now, isn't it?
Oh, it's
and,
huge. It's
the
huge.
Amount of business that's
and it isn't
there.
Just construction. It's like Joe and her show home network. Mm-hmm. It's interiors. It's furniture.
Yeah.
It's kitchens. It's everything you could possibly imagine in what they call the built environment these days. Yeah. It's a great show. It's a great show.
Yeah. And obviously that's Carol and Penny.
Carol Black and Penny Wallace. Penny was on the show last week, yeah.
Did she mention it last week?
She did indeed.
Yeah. So they're the kind of the brains and the logistics behind all of that.
Mm.
Did we didn't mention the Ashford Business Awards, did we? Did we mention the Ashford Business Awards?
I think you did earlier, but you can give them another mention.
So as part of the kind of the annual Grow Kent conference that's on the 30th of November, and this is a very different conference to the business-to-business exhibitions that those guys have been running under the Grow Kent brand this year. This is very much a kind of a learning conference as opposed to a B2B kind of exhibition with some speakers. So the format is very different. But around that, obviously, there are the Ashford Business Awards. So if you are a business based in or around the borough of Ashford, you can register for these awards. They've got some brilliant judges that are going to be critiquing those as well this year. And there is an awards dinner that takes place on the same day as the GrowChem conference in the evening. So it's on the 30th of November. And I think in order to get your entry in, I think you need to do that, Paul, by, is it the end of September?
Yeah.
I think entries need to be in by the 29th of September. Mm-hmm. So you haven't got long, but it's not a particularly arduous process to enter. Or if you would like to nominate someone, it's not just your own business. You can also nominate other businesses.
Absolutely, yeah. They just have to be based in the Ashford area.
That's the key thing. That's the key criteria. And I remember seeing the all the kind of post-show publicity that came out of Canterbury this year. Mm. So we had Dodgems and Floss, who've been on the show before. They picked up an award. And I think Jackie at JJ Systems was
Jackie Offen was a sponsor, yes.
Still is as well.
Yep.
So it's a really great initiative, and it will be very high profile on the back of that. So either nominate a business that you know or enter your own business at businessawardskent.co.uk.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. It's now an absolute pleasure to welcome our next guest for the first time onto the Business Bunker Show, Mr. Paul Turner of the Marlow Theatre in Canterbury. Paul, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me along.
It's an absolute pleasure. We're really fascinated to hear from you about the Marlow and the work that's going on there. For those that don't know the Marlow Theatre, was it 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
2011.
Oh, blimey, time flies, doesn't it? I'm not a past thinker. I can't.
Yeah, 2011, we was completely rebuilt. So the old theatre closed in 2009.
Right.
And we're owned and managed by the City Council, who made that real tough decision to, you know, get rid of that old building and build a brand new one. And in the centre of Canterbury, they could have put it anywhere else, but they put it right smack bang in the centre of Canterbury. Mm. And we've got this wonderful asset to the whole of Kent, which is fantastic. It really is great. Mm. Yeah.
It is a very modern theatre now, isn't it?
And
it's a really awesome place. The old theatre was quite cute as well.
I'm struggling to remember because the capacity now is, what, 2,500?
No. We wish. Yeah. It's 1,200 seats 1,200. In this one. And so that's in our main auditorium. We've got a studio that seats 150 as well. Mm. And, yeah, so that's 300 seats more than the old auditorium, which puts us onto the big scale, basically, the number one touring venue. So there's shows like, you know, War Horse that's there at the moment would never have come to the old Marlow Theatre. It wasn't possible.
Absolutely, and that's part of the investment, isn't it, in doing it, is so that you can attract bigger acts, bigger things, bigger shows to what
you're
doing.
Just look at us this summer. We've had Mamma Mia for 3 weeks, then we had The Play That Goes Wrong for a week, and now we're launching the UK tour of War Horse, which is with us for just over 4 weeks, you know, 37,000 people watching it, which
is
amazing for Kent, not just for the theatre. Obviously, it's great for our business, but the knock-on effect of that for local businesses is amazing.
It is, funnily enough, I did a talk about this, I'll explain in a moment. It's interesting that something like the Marlow is, even in a city like Canterbury, which is a tourist destination par excellence for all kinds of reasons, but still the Marlow has a huge impact on the economy of Canterbury.
Yeah, we do an economic impact study every year, which I have the pleasure of working out for about 2 months. And we're about £34 million now, economic impact a year. So it's huge.
Funnily enough, I talked at a meeting in Tunbridge Wells. Tunbridge Wells are looking at building a new theatre. It's one of the plans that they have. And a lot of people are going, well, what's the point of that? And I went along and just said, you know, well, from my point of view, actually, there's a big point because it does generate a huge economic impact, especially in the nighttime economy.
Yeah, that's massive. I remember when we first opened back in 2011, there was 9 restaurants in the close vicinity of the theatre. And now there's something like 27, and they're all doing fantastically
business,
well.
Yeah.
You've got 1,200 people there tonight that's going to watch a show. They want to eat somewhere else first. Yeah. So we've got our own restaurant, but you know we can't sell 1,200 people.
Yeah, absolutely.
I used to know the guy, actually, that owned Marlow's, which isn't your own restaurant,
is it?
But just borrowed your name.
Yeah.
And he ran that very successfully.
Mind you, they borrowed the name in the first place from old Chris.
Yeah.
He was an interesting character as well, wasn't he?
Yeah.
The playwright Christopher Marlowe, didn't he? Died in a sword fight or something, a duel or something, some stupid nonsense, age 22.
I don't know how he died.
Yeah.
Very young, though.
Yeah.
It's multifaceted, though, isn't it, the theatre? Because, I mean, you know, you've got these brilliant productions that you're able to bring to the theatre now because commercially, you can actually afford to do that with the new enlarged theatre, and obviously with the ticket pricing and everything else. Yeah. It's all kind of geared around being able to bring those high profile shows like Mamma Mia and War Horse along. But you know, that's just one side of it, because you have a very sort of proactive business membership as well at the theatre. You do a lot of business networking as well. So talk to us a little bit about the kind of corporate side of it.
The corporate side of the business for us engaging with businesses, not just normal audience members, has been a huge part of our business. It's been grown by Sam Scott and her small team, and we do our own networking events, and we go to our other networking events. But you know, we've got a very unique selling point for our networking events, as we try and time in whatever productions coming in at that time. So we use yourself, Martin, for the Mamma Mia one, and we brought out the cast, and everybody got the chance to meet the dads. And
did
and
you get to try the dresses on?
I didn't.
I had to stop him.
I did, but the food was amazing, because the whole thing was themed Greek.
Yeah.
And you had these little phyllo pastry cheesy things and olives and that drink was to die for. What was it? It's like a mint.
There was a fresh lemonade, wasn't there?
Something like that. Homemade lemonade. Absolutely brilliant. With this kind of scene of a Greek beach, Kefalonian beach, I think it was, in the background. And it really was cracking. And you probably had what? 60, 70 people.
There's about
there?
70 people there, 35 businesses, and it's just it's a great networking lunch. And yes, we talk about ourselves a little bit,
but
ultimately it's a great opportunity for businesses to meet each other. And actually, on the back of that, we've definitely done some business with some other companies whilst we was there, as well. Looking at our busy period coming up with Pantomime, which is huge for us to do some branding work on some stuff. Yeah,
if you don't mind, I'd like to explore just momentarily the business side of running a theatre and how it is, because in these things are always not cheap to own and run.
No.
And you have a city centre location, as you say, you have a brand new theatre. Is the Marlowe still owned by the City Council?
Yeah, we're owned and managed still by Canterbury City Council. Mm. And in principle, they've made a decision this year that was in the press to transfer to us a trust, which is a huge decision for the City Council. And the final decisions later in this year to see whether that's actually going to go ahead or not. Mm. And it's that the model of a trust with charitable status is the most popular model to run a theatre in the UK, with the largest theatre in the UK not on that model.
Right, okay.
So
okay.
For theatres that are not managed by a commercial operator. So there is commercial operators out there. Mm. But ultimately, the council's decision, part of that is moving forward, that means if you're a charitable trust, you're reinvesting back in your organisation. Whereas a commercial operation, ultimately they're going back to the shareholders.
Sure.
And they've got to return a profit. And our profit effectively will be pumped back into our building to make our building better and increase our engagement with our community for young people, disadvantaged people, anybody in Canterbury, really, and the surrounding areas that we can really engage with to grow our audience. Mm.
So
that for me is a really important point.
It is,
because, you could be forgiven for looking at some of the ticket prices and thinking, crikey, that's quite expensive. You know, I could probably go and see a show in the West End for that kind of money.
But you couldn't. You see, this is where people make this mistake all of the time, isn't it? They go, right, it's 40 quid, I don't know, whatever it is, at the Marlowe, or it's only 50 quid at, the Shaftesbury Avenue, da-da-da-da-da. And you go, I might as well go to the West End. Except you've got to get there, you've got to pay, you've got to pay, £5 for a can of Coke.
But the point is, the money is all coming back into the theatre.
Yeah, yeah.
And actually, the money, you've got to be sensible about pricing. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to bring those shows
absolutely
to the theatre in the first place either, because they are being run on a commercial basis.
It's a very, very fine balance. Mm. And, obviously ticket prices are something we're very sensitive to.
Mm.
And you should, in total honesty, see the difference in the ticket price and the quality of the production that is coming into the building. And we'll take Mamma Mia, for example, or War Horse. They are not small productions. War Horse is 11 Arctic lorries and 60 people that work on every single production. And they're being moved to Canterbury for 4 weeks. This isn't a bit of projection on the stage. It's a humongous piece of work every single night, and sometimes twice a day.
Yeah.
And we talked briefly earlier about the fact that you go to a cinema and something's made and then projected for very little afterwards, and the cost of making a production is humongous, and then to take something on tour, the cost can be just as big as actually originally setting it up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and it just as a silly example, you know, everything costs more because it's supply and demand. I used to go to football at a certain well-known football club from the 1970s where I could pay a pound to get in. I would go on my own, actually, and I could pay a pound to get in.
There weren't
many of us, so that's true. He'd pay a pound to get in and an extra 5 shillings, that shows you how long ago it was, to transfer to the seats. I took my sons to a match at exactly the same ground at Christmas, and it cost me £840. Nearly £1,000 to take 3 people to a football match for 2 hours, which is, you know, insane. But there you go. But coming back to the Marlow and theatres in general, Paul, how are you seeing attendances? Are we on the up?
Yeah, absolutely. So since 2007, when we opened year on year, we're going up and up and up every year. Mm. And we're averaging about 940 a performance, which if you think, you know, it's obviously some things sell out and others don't. 940.
That's a lot of people.
Well, that's more than the old theatre held.
Mm. Yeah.
And we're averaging over that, which is sensational. And when we first opened, we were thinking, how long can we stay on that crest of a wave? Mm. But what has happened at the same time is our audiences came back to the new Marlow, and producers then got confident with us. And then the biggest shows then absolutely come knocking on a door going, yes, we want to be part of Canterbury.
Mm. Yeah.
And now we're not knocking down doors trying to get shows. Actually, now we need another 6 weeks a year probably to fit everything in that we'd really, really like.
And that just shows you how that investment, if you manage it right, it pays dividends. You know, it is a sequence of events. It's an evolutionary process. You invest in it. You start to prove that you have the wherewithal. Then people come to you. That gives you more things to sell and bigger shows to sell.
And the biggest thing for us is the support that we got from the City Council, because we are effectively a department of the City Council.
Yeah.
But, you know, we had a slow reduced subsidy, and it's tough for them because they've got lack of funding at the moment, but they gave us a slow reduced subsidy. And just basically said, you are the professionals, manage this theatre. And they're incredibly proud of it, which is great to see people proud of their decisions. Colin Carmichael, the chief exec, you know, that's a tough decision him and his members have made to potentially put this out to a trust.
It's quite a dynamic business as well, I think, because if you think about it, you know, something like Warhorse and Mamma Mia, it's on quite a limited run, isn't it? What is it, 4 weeks
For Warhorse, but that's long for us.
Right. But, I mean, what that means is you've got to get, you know, the last big show out, you've got to get all the marketing done. You know, it's quite a quick turnaround stuff, isn't it? I mean, I imagine your marketing guys are fairly kind of on it the whole time.
Yeah. So we've got a good marketing team and, you know, award winning, as we like to say as well. So they've won the industry awards. They are absolutely fantastic. And they're working on lots of stuff with producers. And every single show has its own campaign.
Yeah, and presumably, though, although the turnover's high, you know when shows are coming, so I don't know how far in advance you book them, but it must be quite a considerable amount of time in advance.
We've got stuff confirmed on our planners now till 2022.
Exactly, so you know, you can start pre-marketing things that are going to happen in months' time.
Because
people are going to want to make sure they get tickets.
Yeah. I just look at our pantomime. Our pantomime opens in the last weekend in November. And, of course, on that same day that first one opens, we tell everybody what next year's pantomime is going to be. Yeah. And it's a huge beast. We'll probably get about 100,000 people into Canterbury.
And you pre-book it. I mean, I'm already booked on to go to the panto. Jackie's invited me.
Are you Widow Twankey again?
No, I'm just in the audience this time.
I was going to ask you about that, actually. As I was saying to you off air earlier, Paul, I was a director of a small regional theatre for a little while, only a 300 seat theatre, so it's tiny, and our income was almost entirely from the pantomime season. That was our big time. I mean, pantomime's still popular for you guys as well?
Yeah, pantomime's a big part of our business, and I think as well, pantomimes in Canterbury is a huge thing for Kent. We have astronomical numbers, and we're really, really lucky that we co-produce it with a Kent-based producer, Evolution Productions, Emily Wood and Paul Hendy, husband and wife, and they are fantastic. They do 8 productions across the whole country, but you know, this is their theatre. We're the biggest one that they make for with us. And at the end of the day, the Marlow Theatre pantomime with Evolution is now in everybody's mind. Everybody gets to Christmas and goes, we've got to go to pantomime. It's
so
a huge production.
What's this year's?
Well, this year is Peter Pan.
Right, okay.
And our baddie, Captain Hook, is Sean Williamson, who's obviously most famous from EastEnders, but has also just been in the Big Brother house as well. But really interesting with him, he's one of these people that have come off of TV and done huge successful stuff on theatre tours. So he's worked for the National Theatre or One Man, Two Governors. He's done tours of the Lady Killers. He's a huge star in theatre, so we're really excited to have him. And again, another Kent based.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Maidstone boy, sure. Yep. Yeah.
Tell us quickly, Paul, if you can, about the business membership package that you've got as well.
So we do a business membership package for small and large businesses, and it's two different rates. So for a small business of less than 25 employees is £450 a year, and for over 26 is £950 a year. We think that's great value. You get association and branded with us. We invite you to our events. But really what is really, really important for this is at a time where, you know, money can be tight in small or medium-sized businesses, you can join a scheme and the benefits that your staff get. Mm. So it's like a friends membership for your staff. Mm-mm. They get the opportunity to buy tickets early as well. We tell them when that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. That's a special thing just for these business members. And then they get the opportunity to come to some of our events as well. So for things like Matthew Bourne and for Peter Pan, and for the stuff to do in the new year to do with the bands from the big BBC programme as well. There's after-show events, so your staff get the opportunity to come and meet the cast, have a drink, meet us as well, and generally get involved in the theatre, apart from just watching the show, and come to meet people.
And that is the thing that kind of strikes you when you go there on an inverted commas, a business event. Just how warm and welcoming the theatre is, and, you know, very convivial, it's very social. It's a very nice atmosphere.
Yeah, I'm the luckiest accountant in the world. There's no doubt about it. I'm not sitting there counting widgets or anything like that.
It's good stuff.
There's a networking event we should talk about, Paul. It's coming up at the Marlow. It's on the 12th of October. Paul, tell us a bit more about that.
So this one is, as I said earlier on, we're really, really lucky we can brand ours into a certain way. And this one is all to do with Warhorse. So we're going to have a breakfast meeting and an opportunity to do some networking there. So I think we're having a full English on that day as well, actually. So we all come in and have a full English.
Come back, Martin. It's not yet.
And we'll be taking people on stage so they actually get the opportunity to have a look at this wonderful set that's in Canterbury at the moment, which is, you know, that's a once-in-a-lifetime chance, really, for people to get the opportunity to do that. This is a humongous show. And so that's really, really great. And it's for non-members, is £16.25 if you're not a corporate member. But you can still come along if you aren't a member. Sorry, £16.25 for non-members, and then it's half price for that for our members. Mm-hmm. And that includes your breakfast as well. And
that's marlowtheatre.com, I think, is the website. Yeah, absolutely. You'll find all the information on that.
Absolutely. Do you know how long has Warhorse got left to run?
So we opened on Friday, so we've still basically got 3.5 weeks left to go.
Fantastic.
So there is a few tickets left, but get yourself in there if you
can. Get along and have a look. Yeah. And what have you got coming up after Warhorse?
So straight after Warhorse, we have a nice one night a week. So we've got some stuff that we're hosting with Canterbury Festival that's in the building as well. We've got some live music. And then straight after that, we go into one that everybody's heard of, which is Greece, which is virtually sold out. So we go into Greece. Mm. And then later in the year, we've got some ballet from Northern Ballet. And then Glyndebourne are in as well with some top opera that we've
fantastic.
Got.
So
we're very lucky to be only one of five venues that have Glyndebourne in the UK.
Wow.
So that's really, really exciting for us. So we've got that's our resident opera. Mm. And then we also have a resident orchestra as well. We've got one of them before Christmas as well, and that's the Philharmonia. Right. So, and they only do five venues a year. And then we go into pantomime.
Pantomime, yay. He's behind you. Oh, no, he isn't. It's a really eclectic mix of things that you stage there.
Absolutely. And we always say, John Baker, our head of marketing, always says that we don't have one audience. The Marlow Theatre has audiences. Mm. And that's really, really key to our success, to be honest. You know, some people say, oh, I wish we had some more musicals. And, you know, sometimes we look at the wall and go, I wish we had some more plays. Or, you know, or sometimes we think, could we do more pantomime, put some more of that in? But it's really, the business model is an eclectic range and lots of different audiences. And, some people come to absolutely everything. Yeah. But, you know, at the end of the day, if we put musicals on every single day of the week, the audiences wouldn't be there because you can't afford to do it all the time.
Sure.
So, you know, to have that break up as well of lots of different shows is really, really great. Yeah.
Do you dovetail with the Canterbury Festival as well later on in, is it October, I think that
starts? Yeah, so the Canterbury Festival runs for 2 weeks and I think it's a little bit longer than 2 weeks this year. So they do lots of stuff obviously over the whole of Canterbury, and they've got the Spiegel tent as well, which is great. We sell tickets for them as well. Mm-hmm. So we work with them really, really closely. And then they use our venue for for four events, I think it is, this year as well. So it's they hire the venue from us as well.
It's a real sort of cultural hub, isn't it, Canterbury? Because you've got the Gulbenkian, of course.
Yeah, they're doing great stuff
up at
the
university. And I think Natalie is promoting some of their silent film festival stuff that they've got coming up. Yeah. So, you know, there's an awful lot going on in Canterbury. Yeah, there's a lot to be.
And don't forget, you know, now as well, the Old Canterbury Heritage Museum, which is now becoming basically our third home, because we've got two theatre spaces already, but all of our youth theatre activity and all our creative work, new writing that we're really focusing on, is going to be based out of that building. So we're actually moving into there now as we talk now. The guys are getting it all ready. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be great opportunities. We're working with another local company called Wise Words as well. That do the Wise Words,
yeah. They use Fruitworks for some of their things.
So they're coming in and they're sharing office space with us in there as well to give them a new base.
Right.
And that's going to be really exciting for new work. So there's lots of people that study in Canterbury that when they finish their studies, they've got nowhere to make theatre. Mm. And our long-term aim is actually, don't leave Canterbury, make theatre in Canterbury and make it with us.
Yeah.
And that's the thing we're doing. So we do that, and we do a thing called Roar as well, where we take new plays, which have not been made in any way whatsoever. And we're bringing in some an artistic director or director to come in and look at it, bring in some actors, and they'll work on that for a whole week. And then on a Friday, we'll get some people from the industry to come down and see that basically in our black box and say, what do you think of this play? And then it might have a life afterwards with us or with somebody else.
Mm.
And we did that one with a thing called Box Clever. And Nabokov got involved in that. And we was really, really proud that went to Edinburgh Fringe this year. So that's the type of work that we are doing.
Yeah,
not everybody's seeing, but it's all on our website. We talk about it a lot, but that's great. And the Raw project is all funded. So that's not your ticket money that's effectively paying for that. That's come from either individual donors or funding that we've gained from Arts Council.
Fantastic.
Individual projects. Mm. So it's all great and giving a new life to the theatre as well.
Absolutely, and it really is a cultural icon of the city and of Kent, to be honest. You know, because you don't just draw audience from Canterbury; they come from all over the place because of the types of shows that you put on.
The heat map is amazing when you, because the system, we've got a brilliant system that connects to like a heat map and tells us where all the tickets buy. And yeah, of course, there's a real condensed area of central Canterbury and Dover and Deal, but actually, you know, sometimes pantomime people will come from. Down near Brighton and everywhere you can think of.
I'm the president of the Kent Deaf Children's Society.
Okay.
You guys have a special pantomime for us quite often as well, for deaf children, a special...
We do a relaxed performance of the pantomime every single year now. It's something that the producers were very keen to do with us. And so there's one performance, I don't know the date off the top of my head, but we can give you a link to that later if people are interested. Yeah. And that performance is tailored especially for special needs, basically everybody has. If they and the whole show is done in a slightly different way. The cast are all aware of it. We have extra staff. We don't sell every seat. We deliberately keep it open. And you know, sometimes kids who need real help with issues, we're there to help them do that as well. And if they're buying tickets and they need one for their teddy bear, they can have a seat for their teddy bear as well, if that's what they really need. And it's to give them the opportunity to enjoy performances. Yeah. And the family and who come to them productions and watch that relaxed performance absolutely love the opportunity because whilst we're a theatre for all and we would never discriminate against anybody in any way whatsoever, everybody's welcome to our theatre at any performance. Sometimes families don't like to do that.
Yeah.
And that's really big to give them the opportunity to say, do you know what, this is what we're doing.
Our families really absolutely love it. It is the high point of the year for them. And they come from all over Kent to come to that. And they absolutely love it. And they have a fabulous time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd like to say thank you to you and the Marlowe for that.
Great.
Because it's really brilliant.
Yeah, and the cast absolutely love it. And it's one of them days that when we go into the office and we go, today's our relaxed performance, that's what we call it.
Mm.
And the whole theatre loves that day. It really is. We put soft furnishings out the front so everybody can, you know, do what you just take over, do what you want.
It's fantastic. Well, all power to you, Paul, and the team there at the Marlowe Theatre in Canterbury. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Punk Show. Just give us a shout out again for the booking office, ticket office, or the website. So,
it's on marlowetheatre.com, and our next corporate breakfast networking event that we've got is on Thursday the 12th of October, and that's all based on the theme of Warhorse. So come along.
Fantastic. Paul Turner, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Paul.
Cheers. Good stuff. We're fast approaching the end of the show. We've still got tweets coming in. We've still got emails to read. I'm going to go with an email while Martin's sorting himself out with something. as an intrepid group of accountants from Sidcup in Kent have completed an unusual challenge that saw them walk 10 kilometres pushing wheelbarrows full of plants to raise funds for a local hospice charity. McBride's chartered accountants donned their walking boots and pushed wheelbarrows full of plants from their offices in Sidcup to the grounds of the Greenwich and Bexley Community Hospice in Abbey Wood on Wednesday the 13th of September. The 10-kilometre hospice hike route saw the 40-strong team wheeling their barrows along Knoll Road, heading towards the Danson Underpass and alongside Danson Park before making their way along Bostall Hill and up the drive of the hospice, pushing the plants, which were then donated to fill a new outdoor space. McBride chose the hospice as their nominated charity for 2017 and have already completed a series of fundraising events. To date, these have included individual staff challenges such as the London Night Rider Cycle, the Colour Run in Danson Park, as well as in-house cake sales and donating furniture to the hospice shop team. It costs $8 million a year for the Greenwich and Bexley Community Hospice to provide support and services to local people, and this fundraising contributes to that.
Friday the 29th of September is shaping up to be a very busy day.
It is.
It's Macmillan Cancer Support. Mm-hmm. It's the world's biggest coffee morning. And one of our other shows, actually, Simon Webster from Facts and Figures, I think his show goes out on a Friday, doesn't it?
It does indeed, 1 o'clock on Friday.
At their offices, at Facts and Figures, they are hosting a coffee morning. So they are inviting as many people as possible to come along, eat lots of cake, and raise plenty of money for, obviously, a very worthy cause. If you can't make it, you can also donate at their Just Giving website, which is justgiving.com/factsfigures. So, yeah, it's going to be a cracking day.
Fantastic. We're looking forward to that. you mentioned Natalie just now, so I'll do this. The Kent Creative Awards
are open.
They're open for the 2018 edition. I was a judge on this last year. I had a fantastic entry. An annual event, the Kent Creative Awards, celebrate the arts and culture in Kent. If you contribute to the artistic and cultural life of the county as an individual or an organisation, you can enter for a chance to get promotion and recognition. There are several categories and a simple entry form to fill in, and we have a fantastic team of judges so far to look at your work. If you'd like to enter, the website is kentcreativearts.co.uk/Kent Creative Arts, Kent Creative Awards. So kentcreativearts.co.uk/Kent Creative Awards. Do enter that. We had a fantastic array of organisations from a chap who have retired and then learnt how to make violins, would you believe, and had started to repair and then finally make violins in his 80s. And they were the most amazing instruments. And his business has grown phenomenally. Unbelievable. All kinds of people and organisations involved.
Did I see something posted on LinkedIn this morning about how encouraging people of a certain age to do an apprenticeship was somehow insulting or something? Did you pick up on that?
I didn't see that, no.
No, I think that was the gist of it.
But there's always people that want to pick holes in everything, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, surely, you know, it's never too late, is it?
Exactly. I mean, if you want to do it, you know, it's not... People try and make out that you were forced to do it, you know. Otherwise, they'll remove your job seeker's allowance or some other nonsense, and that's just nonsense.
Right, Friday the 3rd of November, Tree of Hope, having a charity ball at the... It says here the Grover Casino... But I'm assuming it means
the Grosvenor.
The Grosvenor Casino, yeah. Westwood Cross in Broadstairs, being organised by the recruitment people. So it's £40 a head or £35 per table of 10. So that's Friday, the 3rd of November, 7 o'clock. You need to get in touch with team@recruitment-people.co.uk.
Cool. Have you got anything else?
I have.
Go for it.
Well, it's a bit of a long-winded one, and it kind of... Well, it goes back to kind of what we were talking about earlier, which traffic congestion and everything else. Mm. So there is a public consultation being conducted by Highways England, and it's all to do with the M2 at Junction 5 improvements, which is the 249...
I should think so, too. It's the bottom of Detlin Hill.
Yeah, it's the 249 kind of roundabout.
It's a nightmare.
So this consultation is taking place between, it's running now, and 17th of October. So
can I just make a stupid suggestion for that bit of 229 road?
249.
Yeah, 249 road. Can I just make a really stupid suggestion? On the day that the county show's on or any other big event, how about having some temporary traffic lights there so that you can actually turn right, so that all the traffic doesn't have to turn left and go round and round about 2 miles away? How ridiculous is that? Anyway, do carry on.
Yeah. So obviously, if like Paul, you have an opinion on this.
No. I haven't got an opinion. I've got an answer.
And would like to vent your spleen. Please do go onto the Highways England website. There's a URL here that's longer than a phone book. But if you have a look at Highways England, M2 Junction 5 improvements, you'll find it on there. And obviously, you can add your voice to the feedback that they're looking for.
Fantastic. Thank you. I did make reference to this earlier because he tweeted in, but I want to give it a bit more coverage. And it's an email from Keith Mabbott, who's the founder and chief executive of Street Soccer, which is a charitable organisation that takes young people and, using football as a catalyst, gets some training in different types of activities. And it says, I would love to invite your network of people to attend the Kent and Medway Street Soccer Business Breakfast on Wednesday the 27th of September. It's free of charge. The event is aimed at Kent-based SMEs operating within the professional services sector. As you know, we run our street soccer program in partnership with Gillingham Football Club and the Community Trust. And we're expecting between 30 and 50 board-level entrepreneurs and company decision-makers to be in attendance. But the venue can hold a lot more, and we'd love to see some great numbers at this inaugural and exclusive breakfast seminar and business network function. This is our attempt to bring the Kent business community together through the power of football. On the morning, three of our current business supporters will be speaking: MindFit Limited, Metro Bank, and FM Conway. The event starts at 8 a.m. and finishes at 9:30 a.m. To register your complimentary place for the event, please go to the following link: events.ksports.co.uk events. events.ksports.co.uk/events. I'd be very grateful for your help on the Business Bunker to promote the event. So thanks and see you soon. And that's best wishes, Keith. That's Keith Mabbott, who's the founder and CEO of Street Soccer. So it's a free event that you can get along to on the 27th of September at K-Sports.
Can we go back to Tim quickly? And just because we briefly mentioned his seminar on the 18th of October.
Yeah.
Tim, who should come along to that? And what's going to be our takeout from attending that? What are we going to kind of take away that we're going to think, crikey, you know, we now need to implement a proper kind of program of training in the business? What are we going to learn on the day?
Yeah. Basically, it's going to be aimed at people who are self-employed, people who are in upper management, HR, or maybe executives, so that they get a bit better understanding of how stress is interacting and having a negative effect on their own workplace. And then it's going to be interactive. We're going to be asking questions and asking real-life situations of their work situation. And then we're going to be talking about programs which would be very specifically beneficial to their situation, their company.
So, I mean, as a self-employed person, for example, you would, I mean, obviously your life, your kind of your work life and your personal life are intrinsically linked. I mean, there's no kind of boundary there.
No, because the stress is a reflection of your thinking interaction with life.
Right, absolutely.
And that's work life, home life, family life, you name it.
No life.
It could be positive or negative.
Yeah.
So this absolutely. is all going to be learning that we can apply, crucially, in our personal lives, that's actually going to benefit us there.
Yeah. If your home life is stressful, you take that stress to work.
Yeah.
If your work life is stressful, you take it home to your family and your wife.
Yeah.
Or your husband. You know, yeah. It's a two-way street.
Absolutely.
Good.
And when's that taking place?
It's Wednesday the 18th of October, and I think there's a token charge of £20 because there's a lunch included.
Lunch and refreshments from 10 till 4.
And it's at the Coningbrook Hotel.
In Ashford, yeah.
And again, all of that information is on the Supply My Business website in the community section.
Fantastic. Well, look, we've reached the end of another show.
Again, already?
Yeah, we have. I just need to tell you what's coming up later on Channel Radio today. At 4 o'clock, we have the lovely Natalie Benaig with the Kent Creative Arts Show. And this week on the Kent Creative Arts Show, she has photographers Steve Bloom and Chris Lee. And they're on at 4 p.m. today on Channel Radio. At 5 o'clock, we are joined by the ladies' favourite, Mr. Craig Avery, in his stripy socks for 2 hours of celebrity interviews and music. That's the Craig Avery Show from 5 until 7. At 7 o'clock, we have Mr. Joey Whaler with a rockabilly show. So 7 until 9, Mr. Joey Whaler. And then at 9 o'clock, we have I Was Lord Kitchener's Valet, which is a show that focuses on the year 1967. And I don't know if you noticed, Martin, but 1967 was the year that Radio 1 and Radio 2 launched.
I wouldn't know that because it was before my time.
Oh, get out of it. It was. Really? 1967? Yeah, really?
Definitely.
Blimey. He's only a youngster.
Yeah, yeah. He tries to fool us, doesn't he, Tim? Yeah.
I've just high mileage, that's all.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So at 9 o'clock we have I Was Lord Kitchener's Valet. And then, of course, as always, on a Tuesday night, we end up with...
It's Club Culture with Boy George.
One, two, three, get down!
Cool drum beat and a squidgy bass, I give you Vanilla Ace, and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
So as always on a Tuesday, we end up with the fabulous Mr. Boy George with the Club Culture show at 10 o'clock on here on channelradio.co.uk. But that's it for another week on the Business Bunker show. Don't forget to tune in to the Business Bunker Extra Show with Amanda Flanders on Friday at 11 o'clock. That's the Business Bunker Extra Show with Amanda Flanders on Friday at 11 o'clock. And she will have another great guest on that show. But that's it from us. I'd like to say a big thank you to today's show guest, Mr. John Bingley, the chef from the Hive Imperial, Mr. Tim Maris from Creative Dynamics, Mr. Paul Turner from the Marlowe Theatre, and my co-host, Mr. Marvellous Martin White. We will be back with you for another show next week. Have a fantastic week, everybody, and we will see you soon. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.